Is my gone?
Episode 99.
Why are you flashing the light? Do you want me to end the show?
No.
What's that?
We gotta wrap it up soon.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh my God, who made that decision?
Not me.
Not you. Did somebody go into the booth and tell you that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where am
I at? Tell me it's late, but they can't throw us out of here now, can they? Oh, they're going
to
kill Apollo. I've been told they can't throw us out of here now, so we'll see you next time.
That's me being told to wrap it up.
Good night.
And Bruce Springsteen being told to wrap it up. Notice the similarity in reaction from the crowd? Nope. You should never tell the artist to wrap it up. I could talk to Bruce Springsteen for hours, just about this one moment. I will discuss this at the end of this episode. This is episode 99. A lot of fan appreciation in this episode. Here's a theme being covered by The Fold.
Just another rainy day in Chicago, waiting for my funny.
These guys were at my show at the Improv in Los Angeles. George Cassidy and his brother Daniel Cassidy started this band. They've been a... What's his name? Dan's the lead singer. George is playing guitar. These guys have over 120 million downloads plus. Probably 130 now because that was a couple of years ago. I went on and watched one of their videos called The World Gone Mad, which is great. You should watch it. I really enjoy their music, and I really appreciate them covering this theme. I encourage everybody to cover this theme. But what makes George Cassidy an exceptional fan of What's Wrong with Oney Adams is he sent me a screenshot that he listened to over 4,500 minutes of this podcast, What's Wrong with Oney Adams, on Spotify, sent me a screenshot of it, said he's in the top 2% of the listeners. So thank you, George, and thank you to everybody. I don't care if you're in the top 99.9% of listeners. I appreciate your support. I appreciate everybody that listens to this, that corresponds with me. The email is whatswrong@orneyadams.com. Everybody that writes about the podcast, shares it, rates it, does all that fun stuff, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the people that subscribe to Patreon. So here we go. Episode 99. At the end, I will be showing the clip of me being told I need to wrap it up and get off stage at the Ice House last weekend. And then I'll show a clip of Bruce Springsteen being told the same thing at Hyde Park in front of 65,000 people, being told to wrap it up. And then I'll discuss when I saw Buddy Guy live and the same thing happened. So this must be pretty common. I don't want to get too deep into it, but I'll get to it at the end. It's been a fun couple of weeks of doing shows. I was at the Irvine Improv. Thank you to everybody that came out. Shows were packed. I'm already booked for 2024, Irvine Improv. Put those dates up soon. All my dates are at orneyadams.com/tour. Coming up, I'm going to be in Traverse City, Michigan at the Opera House. Going to be in Michigan in January. And then I will be in Chicago in January at the Chicago Improv. I want to go where it's freezing, where you can't even leave. You can't even go walk around because your souls get frozen to the ground. That's what I bleed. That's what my soul bleeds for this. You know, I get a lot of emails, and I will be going over some of the emails, of course. I get a lot of emails, people asking me to go to their city, and I don't think you understand. I just can't travel like I used to. I don't want to travel like I used to. I only want to go to places where it's tickets are going to sell, and there'll be a large crowd. You know, I do everything myself. This whole podcast, I do myself. I write it. I produce it. I edit it. I correspond to every comment under every video. I'm real mom and pop. I cut clips and put them out there. I'm going to talk about some of these clips. I'm trying to stop saying gonna. I'm going to discuss some of the clips I put up. I seem to have really upset the country of Lithuania. They're outraged by me. I've upset two niche groups of people. I've upset the rugby community and the whole country of Lithuania is upset about a joke I did at the Irvine Improv. And it's such a mild wordplay joke. It baffles me. It baffles me what people get upset about. Why? In a world, according to the Fold, that's gone mad, aren't there much bigger issues for everybody to focus on? I will play the joke, and I'll play the follow-up to that joke. But first, I've got a public service announcement. This seems to be going on a lot in Florida. A lot of the kids in Florida are getting into their parents' gummies. I think you know what I mean by gummies, laced with THC. I don't know why adults are now all taking, gummies for medicines. Like, I went to the doctor. The doctor was like, something came back in the blood work. I'm like, oh, here we go. Here we go. Here's the end. Had a good run. And then I imagine the announcement of me passing on TMZ and how it's worded. I said, what's up, doc? And he said, you're low on vitamin D. I said, oh my God, what does that mean? What's going to happen? Am I going to lose my vision? Are we going to have to amputate a foot? How do we fix this, doc? He said, listen, go to one of those pharmacies, you know, like CVS, Walgreens, and you get vitamin D gummies. Go, what? Adults are taking medication in the form of gummies now? That's what's going on. Everything's gummies. With little kids, we have to have our mommies mash up our medicine in a spoon and put some applesauce in there. Did I just read a report, by the way, that they're finding lead in applesauce? But are we children that we have to take gummies? And if you look at this, so in Florida, some of the kids that OD'd, there's several reports. There was a huge report in the Wall Street Journal about this that came out yesterday. I can't open it because I have a firewall. So screw you. So now I'm reading on News 10 in Miami here, I guess. It's News 10. There are these candies. Remember these candies growing up called Airheads? Well, I actually don't. But maybe you do. But they look like any candy. So they made a pot version called Gas Heads. Looks exactly like it. Same font. Candy looks the same. It's like rainbow ribbons. And at the bottom in the corner, there's a little pot leaf. That's the only difference between Gas Heads and Airheads, basically. So the kids found the mom and dad or their parents or somebody's Gas Heads and thought they were candy. They took it and a bunch of kids ended up in the hospital and had to get IVs. And, you know, so listen, if you have this stuff around your house, you got to hide it or you got to write pot on it. Or I don't know. What really needs to happen is there needs to be regulation. Like when I was growing up, cigarette companies couldn't market to kids. They couldn't make Fruity Pebble cigarettes. Well, that needs to happen with this. Although I'm sure some of this stuff is black market stuff. But anyway, be careful. Hide that stuff. Have you guys seen... about my 99-year-old fan or the Lithuanian joke. The joke about Lithuania, my edgy Lithuania joke. Look at this. Let me put the headsets back on. Look at this. This is absolutely crazy as far as I'm concerned. Where is it? I have three clips I want to show you today and discuss from my shows. That's what's happening here. Okay. Where's the Lithuania one? Okay, here it is. Here it is, everybody. This joke I put up. I put this up on TikTok and Instagram. And instantly on TikTok, it got traction. It's been seen almost 500,000 times at this point. and I put it up a few days ago. I put it up on Instagram, slow build, hit about 20,000, 25,000. Now it's at, it's surpassed TikTok. Okay. And the title of the video is "Bet You Didn't Know This About Lithuania." Now I'm on stage, I'm at the ice house, and I'm doing this joke about how I say the word, I'm going to try and say it correctly, pillow. I say pillow. I don't know why. I've got a lazy mouth. Okay, there I said it. I never wanted to admit it. I have a lazy mouth. I've diagnosed myself. I'm sure there's a gummy I can take at the pharmacy. There's a lazy mouth gummy. God forbid my medicine should look like medicine as an adult. So I'm doing the show and I say the word pillow, like down pillow, pillowcase. You understand what I'm saying? The P-I-L-L-O-W. But I say it as P-E-L-L-O-W. And if you come to one of my shows, you know this is sort of a joke that I do now. So I always say, you know, I just bought some down pillows. And people snicker. Like immediately, even if you've never heard me say it before, you're like, what is he saying? And I'm like, well, how do you say it? So I say it to a guy in the front row. This guy has an accent. So I say, do you mind if I ask where your accent is from? And that's where the clip picks up. But what people online don't know, well, there's a couple of things because you're going to find out in clip number two. But what they don't know is this is a group. I found out as I was talking to them from the stage. They're from Lithuania. There's four of them. They're couples. They come every year to see my show. They're big fans. And they're laughing at this joke. Everybody in the audience laughs at the joke. If you go see live comedy, you're not that offended. But when you look at it online and you only see a bit of it, well, people want to be offended. And the entire country of Lithuania is offended because this clip has been seen, you know, 500,000 plus times. That's more than the population of Lithuania. So they've all seen it and they've all commented and they're all outraged, calling me ignorant and dumb. And of course, it's in broken English, which makes me laugh. But they, you know, not that that has anything to do with their intelligence, but you know, if you're going to insult me in my language, get a translator. Get it correct. So they're outraged. I don't even know what they're upset about. I think they're missing the fact, the point that it's a joke. I think people are missing jokes nowadays. I think somehow in the last 10 years, humor has been desecrated. It's been destroyed. It no longer exists. Humor's dead. Jokes are dead. You can't have fun anymore. It's not worth the risk. When you are talking on stage, off stage, you have to always be monitoring yourself. Like, well, should I say that? Is it worth the risk? I mean, it's just dumb. You should be able to say stuff that is incorrect, crass, close to the edge. And you should be able to back up, especially if you're not being hurtful. The whole theme of this joke is that I don't know anything about Lithuania. Not too sure anybody in America knows anything about Lithuania. To me, that's funny. And then I have this moment, and it's completely off the cuff. You can see by the smirk on my face. Let me play the clip. Here we go.
Do you mind if I ask where your accent is from?
Lithuania.
Okay. I got to tell you something. No comedian has anything to say when an audience member says they're from Lithuania. We know nothing about your country. We know nothing. What is Lithuania known for, besides their batteries? This guy just loves it. There you go. You ever touch a famous person?
Gotta give him the fist bump.
So do you, what's the language that you speak? Lithuania, that's what I was gonna guess, yeah.
So there I am showing how uninformed I am and laughing, and everyone's laughing and having a good time. And that's what comedy is. Comedy is, my monitor went out, so I'm trying to fix it in real time here. That's what comedy is supposed to be. It's like, we're all just laughing at a circumstance. But once I say the line, let me roll it back here. You can see there's a moment where I smirk, like I'm actually proud that I thought of that. And in my head, I'm thinking, this clip is going viral. I was right. And I looked, I'm seated in a chair. I look down to see if my gut is sticking out. Because I'm thinking, well, if it goes viral, I don't want my gut sticking out. And I'm happy to report it wasn't.
when an audience member says they're from Lithuania. There's...
So I'm just rolling it back here. Hold on.
We know nothing about your country. We know nothing. What is Lithuania known for besides their batteries?
There I am, proud that I thought about that. And I looked down. I just looked down and confirmed my gut is not out.
This guy loves it. There you go. You ever touch a famous person?
My gut was not out. I can use the clip. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not very happy. That Navy SEAL clip I posted has almost 3 million views, and I don't like the outfit. I don't look good. So I'm not, so I'm torn. I'm happy it went viral, but at the same time, I'm a little bit bummed that I don't look better in the clip. Is that wrong? All right, so now, here's part two, which I just posted this morning, and it's getting traction already, as I assume it should. So now the first clip was completely off the cuff. And by the way, I floated this lithium joke. In the joke, I say, what is Lithuania known for? Because I realize I know nothing about it. I said, what are you known for besides the batteries? Which is a great wordplay joke because of lithium batteries. Lithuania. Hello? What country's offended by this? This is so mild. Meanwhile, I've come to discover that Lithuanians attack other Lithuanians. This is their pastime. They're big drinkers, and they're known for basketball and some other stuff. Plenty of things, of course. But sorry that, you guys aren't on the American radar. We love you. Love you, Lithuania. But they're so offended. But the best part is the people that are offended by this joke know nothing about comedy. Nothing. So, obviously, I'm at a comedy club. You can insult me and say you've never heard of me before. I don't care. I don't really care. I don't care when the people get upset when I'm mocking rugby. People are missing the point there, too. I like when people miss the point and then attack me. It just makes you look stupid. Okay? This is a mild joke. It's wordplay. It's funny. In fact, it may make no sense to you at all in Lithuania because you don't even know what lithium batteries are. I'm sure, like everything else, you have a different word for lithium. Okay, so you've missed the joke. So who cares? Who cares? I mean, it's great that you have pride in your country and want to defend it, but this isn't the moment. There's so many other places you should be taking your energy. Oh, one person wrote this. This is great. Okay. Somebody wrote this under the, where is it? Don't tell me I deleted it. Oh, boy. So somebody wrote, people need to stop killing comedy, basically. Yeah, people don't get comedy. You don't need to comment under it. You know, let's take this. If I go to a museum and I look at a painting and I don't like the painting, I don't sit there and go, critique the artist. Well, they used the wrong color. This tree should be a little bit bigger, should be more in the foreground. This painter doesn't know shit. I look at a painting. If I enjoy the painting, I say I enjoy the painting. If I don't, I just walk away. I don't need to insult the person or act like I'm an expert. There are very few experts in stand-up comedy. Very few. In fact, a lot of comedians don't even know stand-up comedy. But there are a few selective people that get it. I mean, get it. They understand it mathematically, okay? You don't. If you're a casual comedy fan, you probably don't. Let the comedians police the comedians. We got this. We got this under control. The comedians have this under control. We know. And this is such a mild, this isn't even a joke that, well, I guess I am proud of it. But Lithuania is furious at me. Furious. So I posted the first video, and I just have so much more to say about what I was just saying, about critiquing stand-up as an art and being uninformed. There's nothing more ignorant and unattractive as a human being than weighing in on something that you don't get. You can write, I don't get it. You can write, Anyway. I posted the first video and immediately I got a few text members from family members And this takes us into part two. Part two, which is now up on social media, which is Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, possibly YouTube, if I want to switch the formats. Right now it's in, you know, it's not landscape mode. I'm just sick of editing so many different clips in so many different formats. Like now, you know, YouTube wants it under a minute. So they want it under a minute. TikTok's like, no, we want it over a minute. It's just, it's a lot. I'm hoping at some point in my career, I get big enough that I can have support. I can actually have somebody helping me edit videos. Can you imagine that? Wouldn't that be fantastic? I have somebody helping me post. And then I can sit around and just create. I mean, to make these videos, listen, you don't need to know every ingredient in the Orny stew. But I'll say this. Like, the Ice House. This video is from the Ice House. I hire a guy to come out and videotape me. I take all the files, all the SD cards. So I have them. I bring them home and I have three different cameras and I have and different audio sources and different angles and I have to sync it all up. I have to color correct it. I have to sync the audio, which is difficult to do. It's a lot of work. And then sometimes they're vertical forms for some social media, horizontal for other. It's a lot of work. Then I go on another program. I add subtitles and graphics. I'm doing all of this. I love doing it because no one edits me the way I edit me. I love it. But I'm burnt out. I have no head left. Like even as I'm preparing for this podcast and I'm putting all the cameras into the studio and wiring everything and getting ready to record, I think I should edit me being asked to get off stage, and then Bruce Springsteen being asked to get off stage. So then I run in, I download that video off of YouTube, I pull video out of this program, I connect everything, and then I get it on my computer, blah, 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 blah. I love it, but I'm burning out. You're going to lose me to burnout, everybody. All right, so this takes us into part two. Oh, and I should read this letter from a fan that's actually concerned about me. I'll do that after this segment. This may bleed into another episode if I just keep babbling. So this is now entitled Part 2. Now I'm offended by my Lithuania joke. Ready for this plot twist?
So I appreciate it. And what I do is I come to these shows and I like to meet you guys and I talk to the audience and sometimes I put the clips up online and I put a clip up last week when I was in Irvine, the show that you didn't go to. I was talking to somebody in the front row and I said, do you mind if I ask where you're from? You have an accent. And he said, Lithuania. And I said, what is Lithuania known for besides their batteries? And I posted it online, and the anger, the vitriol, the hate, the comments I have gotten. People are outraged, calling me unfunny, uninformed, ignorant, worse than what this guy did to me a minute ago. But here's the best part. I posted the video, and I kept getting texts from my family members saying, you know your great-grandparents came from Lithuania. So it turns out I'm Lithuanian, and I'm asking my people, please, we need to stop attacking each other.
Yeah. By the way, now people are upset that I'm Lithuanian. One person wrote, this, they said, you're not Lithuanian, you have Lithuanian heritage. Well, don't tell me what I identify as. If it helps me with my comedy career, I am Lithuanian. Career? Jeez, I do have a lazy mouth. Oh, I found the quote. Jan Antaya on Facebook said, LOL, people need to chill. They need to stop killing comedy. The best medicine on the planet. I agree with that. But I love analyzing these videos, like that moment where I look down to see if I have a gun. I like that. So, turns out, yours truly is a Lithuanian comedian. I would like my country of Lithuania to stand by me, support me. I'd like to come over there and do some shows. I don't know if it's safe for me in Lithuania since I made a funny wordplay joke about lithium batteries being from Lithuania, which they probably are. I haven't even researched that. They might be. Who knows? Who knows? By the way, the fold is responsible. This band, ready? These guys. The Fold, in case you're wondering, their credentials. Bring that down. They did the Lego Ninjago theme, the Weekend Whip. They've done a lot. They're nice. All right, I'm turning this down. They're not my only fans. I have a 99-year-old fan I'm going to be discussing. But let's do some mail here. Here's a concerned fan. Listen to this. Hello, Orny. How are you? This is from JJ. See, you have become something of a constant in my life, which probably sounds even stranger now that I think about it. Insert face palm here. But hear me out. My name is Didacted, wrote JJ. JJ, she is 35 years old. And she said, I'm from a shitty little town in Norway. Hello, Norway. Have I offended that country yet? What if I go to Norway, I do a show, and then I pop over to my country, Lithuania? You know what I mean? Visit the battery factory. She's from a shitty little town in Norway that I, for some weird reason, she's very proud of, as you should be. My life is pretty quiet, I guess. I live alone and avoid most people when possible. My kind of person, no reason to leave the house. But you live in this small town in Norway. I mean, isn't it safe to go out there? I mean, isn't it like you just know there's a few people around and you know everybody? I figure it's very quaint. Guys are sitting around eating sardines, stuff like that. But better be careful. I'm about to offend all of Norway. I hope you don't mind me reading this, by the way. I spend most of my days working on various projects, taking care of my plants, and feeding the squirrel that lives in my roof. Ah, wow, damn thing eats better than I do. Your podcast is a highlight of my week. I love listening to you talk. You always make me smile. Love to hear that, JJ. Your friend Jim said that listening to your podcast is like having a direct line to your thoughts, and I agree because by now I can almost predict how you'll react to certain topics. Well, then why do I even need to do this anymore? Before you even say anything, having listened to you for quite some time, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I feel like I know you in a way and I care about you. So with all the craziness that's going on in your country right now, I worry too. I hope you're doing okay and that you're staying safe. P.S. If you're looking for topics for a podcast, always, everybody. Thank you, everybody. Have you ever done research on space junk? Oh, I should. And I'm friends with astronauts, so I could ask them about space junk. It's frankly alarming the amount of trash that is orbiting around our little blue planet. Seriously, look it up. You'll be horrified. No, I know about that. I'm also worried about the trash reef floating around in the ocean. That thing. It's trash everywhere. Anyway, thank you for the email. Thank you for listening, JJ. I'd like to know on Spotify where you are. George Cassidy is in the top 2%. Of the What's Wrong with Orny Adams listeners. This is, what's this from? Madeline? Orny. Another email came into the What's Wrong with Orny Adams. By the way, what's wrong at ornyadams.com is email. I get a ton of emails. Some of them make no sense to me. Sorry, I don't understand what you're saying. And some are great, some are brilliant. Some are from people smarter than me. I don't like that. Somebody sent me a whole thing about, okay, this is from Carrie. Hi, I read the attached about fate and destiny. Thought you might find it interesting. Maybe free choice is ambiguous. She's calling back to a podcast. On two podcasts, I talked about Sapolsky's book. This guy Sapolsky, guy studied chimps. And then he came out and said there's no such thing as free will, which I am strongly against. I believe in free will. I'm a free willist. Okay? When my grandparents were in Lithuania, my great-grandparents, they had free will to come here. It was their decision. It wasn't destiny. Anyway, she sent this whole thing about, this is how, I love how old my listeners are. No offense, Carrie, but I gave a Hotmail email, but sent, look at this. This is, let me see what looks on the monitor. Come on, zoom in monitor. All right, let's put it in front of this one. She sent photographs of a book she was reading. And the font is so small, I got to put on the little readers. Fate versus Destiny. This is from James Hollis. It's a book called A Life of Meaning. Life of Meaning. He's a Jungian psychoanalyst, which, you know, I studied that in college. I still don't know what it means. I tried to look it up yesterday. It's like looking within, taking responsibility. I just know him and that other guy, Freud. They were buddies for a while, and then Jung broke off and started his own school. So this guy's a Jungian. Let's look at the first of three ideas to keep our appointment with destiny. In the ancient world, there was a significant distinction between fate and destiny. Unfortunately, in our time, we often confuse the two words, making them synonymous, but they're quite different. Fate represents the circumstances and conditions into which we're thrown, over which we have no control. That's fate, including our family, our body, our DNA, our time and place, and the formative, powerful images going on around us. The Greek word for fate is moria. On the other hand, the ancients knew so much more than us. This ancient Greek worshiping. On the other hand, the ancients understood that each person was given a certain destiny by the gods. Destiny, or prosumus in Greek. People love to throw in the Greek words to sound smarter. Okay? I think what's smarter is not thrown in the Greek word. The Greek word is what is summoned. What is possible? What is latent within each individual? I like the wording of that. What's latent? Meaning, what can we accomplish? That's our free will. We have fate. And fate plus free will, as far as I'm concerned, is destiny. If this James Hollis disagrees with me, that's one thing. But I think I just figured this out. I just cracked it. What was called tragedy was not something bad happening. Anyway, it just goes on and on. Thank you. I find that very dense. I find that there's probably 50 people saying the exact same thing in different ways. But Madeline writes, this is another person that wrote in, and this is just proof that I'm reading all this stuff. Some of it makes it onto the podcast. Some of it doesn't. Some of the emails I get, quite frankly, scare me. Okay, Madeline, Orny, why don't you want people to know you're a nice person? Is it satire, like how I assume Larry David satirizes himself? Is it a comedian thing? Well, the truth is, Madeline, I'm not a nice person. That's what's going on here. I don't know what that means. I like people to know I'm a nice person. I'm a tough person. And I don't know. I've been compared to Larry David at times, who's brilliant. That show is brilliant. And I think that, some people are just tortured in that way. But it's fun to, Don Rickles was a sweetheart. So if you do it in the right way, Madeline, maybe I'm not doing it in the right way. There should be a little sort of wink to camera, sort of like a smirk, Yeah. Okay, here's another one. This is from Christine. Hey, Orny, I'll keep this short and sweet, but no emojis, as I know you detest them. As a listener knows, I hate emojis. I'd love to hear your take on my pet peeve of people saying, no problem. Personally, I find it irritating. What do you say? And then sent a link to it. In the link, it's saying, not only do my temples throb, so I guess this is written by somebody else, but my brain screeches every time I hear those two words. And sadly, I hear them all too often. Cashiers say no problem after I thank them for the change I received for my purchase. Waiters say no problem when giving me change from the bill I just paid from the front desk. The front desk attendant says no problem after I thank them for giving me my room key. What was the problem in the first place? What happened to a simple yet powerful phrase of you're welcome, or perhaps my pleasure? Well, it's a power move, isn't it? No problem. Like, I gotcha. Yeah, this one, no problem. Like, I don't need to thank you. Thank you is submissive in a way, right? Thank you. Thank you for the tip. But if a waiter takes an order, they go, no problem. There's an arrogance to it, too. I remember Gary Shandling used to get annoyed at an assistant that would say, done, done. Guy go, hey, can we do it? Done, done. It's all done. Now, no problem doesn't, maybe it will bother me now that you've brought this to my attention, but what did she say at the beginning here? I'll keep this, I'd love to hear your take on my pet peeve of people saying, no problem. I'm trying to think of when people say no problem. Hey, can you, yeah, no problem. You know, customer service does this too. Oh, you must be so, I can see how frustrating it would be that this isn't working. I'll take care of this, no problem. And then they don't take care of it. That's the other thing is, no problem becomes a problem. So, Christine, there's no problem at the beginning, but by the time that they don't, or they say no problem and don't resolve it, now we got a problem. Now we got a problem. Here's another very lengthy email from somebody that I think really gets my sensibilities here. Let's see if I can find this. Okay, this is from, is this the same? Didn't I just read one from Madeline? Is this the same? It's the same one that doesn't think I want people to know I'm happy. Huh, interesting. Okay, so Madeline, maybe I only have a few listeners and they're all just emailing over and over again. Maybe I'm just confused. Orny, have you heard about streaming fraud? I've just been reading about how book and film and music sales can be fixed, just like award shows. And apparently this is a thing too. It's not exactly democratic, is it? No, it isn't. Why do you think I don't care about Academy Awards? And that's why I respect somebody like a Marlon Brando that sent a Native American woman to collect his award. Now you can't even say that, an indigenous person. Or do you think it's a case of being fair enough because okay. I don't think we should have to tolerate people like that. I don't know what this is. Oh, wait a minute. I got lost. That's what these emails. Or do you think this is a case of being fair enough? It's a very long email. And I said, what is this streaming fraud? Well, it's this. It's music companies using bots to have streams off of Spotify and other places like that to increase their, clients' visibility or push them up in the charts. And I guess people can do this with books. People can have their friends, the week the book comes out, buy books from certain bookstores that puts them in the top selling list. And she doesn't think this is fair. She thinks it's cheating. I agree. And I'm just going to skip ahead. There's five paragraphs. Why can't people just do good work? Is that too much to ask? Well, that's the way I feel. I felt this from a young age. Like there were certain people like me that studied for the SATs. That's the college entrance exams. And I would study the information. That's what I would do. I would study what I needed to know to answer a question to score high. And then there were other kids that took classes on how to take the test, meaning how to guess correctly, know when to skip on, not spend too much time here, how to eliminate one answer, blah, 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 look for patterns. That's, to me, was cheating. I don't believe in that. So I agree with her. It sounds like you need to already have business connections or some amount of money to actually make these scams happen. Well, you need money, I guess, in a way that they're not being detected by competitors or by consumers. I read the article and it's just talking about how in one country, there was about $1 billion worth of fraud on fake downloads. But would audiences tolerate the scam if they knew how many scams were being played? The award shows are not scam. Okay, anyway, yes, I can't. I didn't have time to really sort of read this entire thing, but she made some great points that I agree with. Thank you very much for the email. I appreciate it. So let's move on. Let's move on to something joyful. Something joyful. I have. This is a really a cool story. Where is it? I have a fan that's been coming to my shows. Okay. I came to a show, I should say. Okay. I have a 99-year-old fan named Jack. Jack is 99 years old, and he contacted me, and he thinks, he said, I think it's destiny that we meet. I think we're meant to meet. I thought, oh, that's interesting. This guy's 99. Thinks, what is it? And Jack's been in show business, and he started sending me emails, and I would send emails back. And I you know, I get a lot of emails from people that want to meet me, and a lot of cuckoos out there. I go, oh, I gotta vet Jack. And Jack's done, you know, his best friend was Lenny Bruce. I talked about him on the last podcast. So we've been sending emails back and forth. He's been giving me reading tips. He has a lot of course, advice. He's 99 years old. He's been around. Told me yesterday he's so old that he doesn't buy green bananas. But he's very youthful. He's got a lot of energy. So he's been sending me these emails, and he finally came to one of my shows. He came to see me at the Ice House in Pasadena, and I'm putting up a picture. This is a picture of me and Jack. Look how the guy doesn't look 99. I did the show. I talked to him from the stage. I should play that. Actually, let me play that. This is me talking to Jack from the stage, if I can find the clip. Somehow, everything has disappeared on my laptop. All right, let's see. I'll grab it off of here. All right. So this is, actually, I should play this afterwards. I should play this going, I'll play the clip because it goes into me being asked to get off stage. But here's me and Jack, and now we're sitting down and talking. I did the show, and the show was an hour, 20 minutes or so. And then I sell merchandise, I do a meet and greet, and it took about another hour. And Jack, at 99 years old, sat there. This guy was out late, had more energy than me. And he's very interesting. In fact, Jack and I are going to dinner on Wednesday night. I want him to come on the podcast, but he's got reservations. I don't know why. He wants to give me a lot of advice. I love it. I want to hear the advice, but I want to hear it for the first time on the podcast because I think the listeners, you guys, would benefit from it as well. He's very youthful. He's more optimistic about the future than I am, and he considers me young. He considers my parents young. He's 99. I can't imagine being 99 and thinking, you know, I'd be so afraid that every day was my last day. I mean, we probably should think that anyway as a human, but I would if I was 99. So Jack came to the show, really enjoyed talking to him, and I started to talk to him from the stage. I said, is Jack here? I wanted to make sure he made it. Oh, God, I should talk about this. I saw a high-speed chase. This is, I was sitting around, it was getting late at night, and I got a, Tim Conway Jr. sent me a text. He said, high-speed chase, channel, blah, 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 LA, tune in. I tune in. The helicopter's following this car for about 30 minutes. The police had to, the car was going down like one-way streets the wrong way at a high speed, was clipping other cars. It was dangerous. So they do this thing in Los Angeles where they back off. The police back off. They backed off so much that when the car stopped, the helicopter was on it, and the two occupants ran. The helicopter's following them, saying, where are the police? The police, it took 10 minutes for the police to catch up and get there. By the time they got there, they were gone. This is what's going on in my city. I should wish everybody a happy holiday too. But I want to say this. I don't celebrate holidays. I enjoy holidays, but I don't take time off. If you want to offer me work on Christmas Day, I'll answer your email. I work always. So when people are like, well, we're wrapping it up for the season, we'll be back in January 10th. Like, agents and managers take off like 3 weeks. They barely work during the regular season. Like, I'm so sick of things shutting down. Work. Just work. And we're going to pretend in a day and age where everybody's on their device all the time. You see it when you go out to eat. Everybody's on a device. Now we're all going to pretend, oh, we're not looking at our devices. We're not doing business for 2 weeks. We're shutting down January 18th or December 18th to January 18th. It's bullshit. We all work all the time. Let's cut this. We're taking time. You don't get time to yourself anymore. Especially if it has to do with business. I hate that. Depresses me when I think about we're shutting down. Depresses me. So Jack, it's back to the good stuff because I'm going to lunch. Dinner. Oh, so I said to Jack. Jack said, oh, you know, I don't know. I want to talk to you first and we'll talk about doing your podcast. And I said, Jack, come on, buddy. Let's just do it. If there's something you don't like, we'll edit it out. You're 99. You're not going to make sure he's going to be around. 99. By the way, he invited me to his 100th birthday, which is next year, a couple of months. I said, Jack, come on. So I want to get to know you first. So he wants to be comfortable. I understand it. So I said, let me take you to coffee. And he said, let's get dinner. I said, well, if we're getting dinner, you're paying. I'll pay for coffee. So he said, I'll pay for dinner. So we're going to dinner. We're going to talk about show business. We're talking about life. He wants to talk about, he's got secrets. He told me he found a cure for cancer. This is when I get a little concerned. I'm like, uh-oh. But the guy is lucid. The guy is sharp. So, by the way, if I don't come back from, if you never see me again after Wednesday, I've been killed by a 99-year-old. I've got to go to his house. I've got to pick him up. I've got to take him to the restaurant. You know, he's 99. But guy's full of spirit. So I hope to have him on the podcast. So this is me now. I'm sorry, like sometimes you hear some pauses and you hear me get a little bit distracted. It's only because I'm in the, studio doing this alone. And I'm calling up all these clips in real time. This isn't like sort of edited later. So here's a clip. This is me at the Ice House. And this goes into me being asked to get off stage. So I posted this on TikTok, Instagram, and all that stuff. And I will go into other musicians and performers that have been asked to get off stage. See, in our business, you should understand this first. I asked them before I got up on stage, this is the Ice House. Is there a second show? They said, no. When there's no second show, I said, well, do I need to get off? No, you don't need to get off. There's no second show. They don't need to clean the room, reset the room, let in a new audience, let out the old audience, let in the new audience. They don't have to do any of that. There's one show. And I asked them, do I have to get off? And they said, no. Now, why you would ever want an audience that's in there really enjoying themselves to have their time cut short, I don't get. So I asked him, the person in the sound booth, I said, why don't you give me the light at 50 minutes? And that way I just know at least I did 50 minutes and I'm going to hit an hour. I don't like to do less than an hour, but if I really like the audience and I'm grooving and I've got the energy and my head's clear, if I've got the energy of a 99-year-old Jack, I want to keep going. And that was the case here. I was all over the place, experimenting, throwing out new thoughts, seeing what worked, moving things around, you know, being jazzy. And by the way, I had this thought in Irvine because Jim Clemente came to see me on Friday night, saw two shows. And I said, Jim, if anybody needs further evidence than how different every show is, people that email, are you seeing new material? People that don't get the art of stand-up. Has nothing to do with that. Has to do with a moment in time with a specific group of people. That's why clips never translate online, because the live experience is so different. And I go in and I have a game plan and each show is so different. Okay. The Friday first show couldn't have been more different than the Friday second show. So if a year later, am I going to see the same show? Yeah. You're not going to see the same show the next show. And if you do see the same show again, you're lucky. But it's impossible because things happen. So I was proud of that. And it gave me confidence when I realized that. Because people saying, are you going to do the same show a year later when I come back to your city? I saw you last year. Coming back and see you again a year later. Is it the same show? It makes me question myself. This doesn't make me question myself. It doesn't. So I was really enjoying myself, full of energy, didn't have to save energy for a second show, wanted to keep going. I'm talking to my 99-year-old fan a few minutes earlier, and basically, all of a sudden, I start getting the light. And at the end of the clip, the guy brings up a cordless mic. Let me just play the clip for you. And all this stuff is up on my social media. Okay, so here we go. Jack, are you here?
Yeah.
This... I've never met Jack. Jack and I have been emailing for several weeks. Jack is my oldest fan in regards to my podcast. He's a listener. Jack, tell everybody how old you are. 99 years old. No, but I want to say this because I am grateful for the people that come back. And Jack, we're going to talk after the show. I can't believe you're up this late. I really...
I'm ready to sleep.
I know you're normally asleep. Yeah. Why are you flashing the light? Do you want me to end the show? What's that?
We got to wrap it up soon.
We do? He said we got to wrap it up soon. Audience boos. Oh, my God. Who made that decision?
Not me.
Not you. Did somebody go into the booth and tell you that?
Yeah.
Where am I at? I'm just like at an hour, right?
Hour 10.
Okay, we'll stop the clock. You know what I mean, dude? Work with me. Jack is still alive. He's awake.
Jack is still alive. We don't end the show if Jack's alive.
He just bought me a new bike, and he said, this one's going to die.
I said, is that why you're lighting me? There's no mic?
Anyway, I don't know how much you can hear when you're listening to this, to the podcast, but, you know, I'm on stage. I'm having a great time. Why are they flashing the light? I hate that. I hate that. It feels disrespectful. Unless there's some emergency or something's happening or I'm being grotesque. But I had talked to the club beforehand and I was told I could go long. There might have been some miscommunication within the chain. You know, listen, I'm enjoying the ice house. I love it. I'm back there. I'll be back there March 2nd, Saturday, March 2nd. But I just wanted to play that because I just want people to understand the struggle and how humiliating this business can be. And then I found this. This, when I was in Irvine, I before the show, I always put YouTube on and I listen to music. I rock it out. I love to rock it out. And I find this clip of Bruce Springsteen. This is unbelievable to me. This is Bruce Springsteen. He's in Hyde Park. What did I do? I closed it? Okay, I'm just... Oh, I had it all queued up to the right point. Oh, there it is. Okay, I got it. What would I do if I had a producer? What would I do? What's wrong with Ornie Adams? What's wrong with lighting and telling musicians... Now, I understand. I'm not so delusional. I understand the difference between me and Bruce Springsteen. I get it. I get why a club would tell me to get off. I get it. I'm just a piece of crap. I'm just there on stage to sell chicken wings and beer for an hour and a half. That's all. I'm just up there, you know, just telling a couple of little jokes, offending Lithuania. Who cares about Ornie Adams? I mean, that's how it makes me feel. That's how I feel in this business. Just, this business makes me feel like crap so often. The only time I feel any sort of, I love being on stage. I hate what it takes to get up on stage. I hate it. I hate all the negotiation and planning. I hate getting there. I hate it. Being there, I love. And I love my audience. And I love people that support me and pass along my videos. And I say this on stage. I say this on stage, okay? Look at me. Okay? You, the audience, have saved my career. You, the audience that finds me on social media and YouTube, have saved my career. Okay? I've done plenty of things, but I don't work well, I guess, with institutions and networks and whatever. Nobody's come to me. Nobody's offered me. I'm doing it all on my own, which I'm fine with. I don't mind. I've got a great audience. And you guys are sharing my content. And that's saving me. To me, I can't believe that in my lifetime we've gone from you have to beg NBC, you've got to beg HBO, you've got to beg these people to put you on. Oh, Tonight Show, put me on, pop my career. Now you can do it yourself. I can post a clip and within minutes offend all of Lithuania. That's unbelievable. And I'm grateful for that. And so on stage, I thank everyone that keeps coming back because a lot of the audience keeps coming back over and over, the same people, and I can't thank them enough. And I tell this story about how I bought the rights back to my Showtime special, More Than Loud, a special that you've probably seen. And they applaud. And I say, you know, I bought the rights back from Showtime with the intention of getting that up on Netflix. In fact, I even offered it to Netflix for $1, and they wanted nothing to do with me. So I put it up on YouTube for free, and it's about to hit 5 million views. And the audience applauds. But I'm telling you now that as somebody, and I feel very, very vulnerable telling this, you know, like it's one thing to tell it in front of an audience, you know, in a venue where there's 500 people and it's not, it's being recorded, but I own all the recordings, so I can decide whether to disseminate and put that out there. But now I'm saying it. Because I was in a great mood, and then I watched this Bruce Springsteen video over and over and over and over, and it made me feel small. It made me feel unaccomplished to see somebody's dream coming true. Of course, at the end, they get treated like me. But it saddens me. In fact, part of the reason I listen to so much music and great music before I get up on stage and I watch the videos on YouTube is to feel a sense of humiliation, hubris, self-realization. Put me in my place. Watching these rock bands in these huge venues puts me in my place, reminds me I'm not as big as I feel I am in my head. I'm much smaller. So, I can't say the word smaller now. So, I'm gearing up for my shows in Irvine. And this pops up in the feed. I'd never seen this one before. This is Bruce Springsteen. I think it was in 2012. He's in Hyde Park in England. It's nighttime. In front of 65,000 fans. It's being broadcast on VH1. And he brings out Paul McCartney. He says, here's Paul McCartney. Sir, please welcome Sir Paul McCartney. Now, can you imagine you're in England, 65,000 people there to see Bruce Springsteen? And oh, by the way, for dessert, we're going to throw in a little Paul McCartney. Only one of the greatest. Only one of the most iconic, greatest members of a band of all time, the Beatles, a great iconic beat. I mean, Paul McCartney. And Bruce Springsteen says, very humbly, I've only waited about 50 years for this to happen. So his dream is coming true. And so they start to play I Saw Her Standing There. And they're grooving. And Bruce Springsteen puts on a long show. He's fun. And the audiences, they're right there with him. And there's Bruce Springsteen and Paul McCartney in their primes. For all you ageist, for all you people that think, oh, old people, the old people. I don't know how old they are in this, probably at least, maybe 60. They're in their prime. They're rocking harder than I've ever seen rock. They got it. And they're just enjoying themselves. And you're seeing Bruce Springsteen's dream come true. What a beautiful moment. And then they go into Twist and Shout, and fireworks go off. So this is planned. It's playing fireworks going on. Twist and the band is playing in the horn section. Bruce invites the horn section upstage, and now they're all in a line. They're all equal to Paul McCartney. They're all equal to Bruce Springsteen. And everybody, they just show the audience. It's like, oh, it puts me in such a good mood. I'm like, this is what life should be. This is humanity. Why are we focused on my Lithuanian video? Why is that? Why are we upset about that? Watch this. This is medicine for the soul. Music can save the world. And it's such a beautiful moment. And they end. They end the twist and shout. And Bruce brings Paul McCartney to the front of the stage, even closer to the audience. And they start it up again. It's just this. It's such a feel-good moment. I just can't tell you. And then they come up, he introduces the band, they finish playing the song again, and he says, come on, boys. Bruce says, come on, boys. He calls the band back to the stage, and all of a sudden, a stagehand comes out, or maybe his manager. I don't know who this guy is. And he says, you can't hear it on the video, but he says, they're going to kill the lights or something like that. You got to get off. Because Bruce says, come on, boys. I go, they can't tell us to get off. Basically what I was saying. You can't tell me to get off. He's at the Ice House, by the way. I'm at the Ice House in front of, 15 people. He's at Hyde Park, 65,000 people. But, they're telling Bruce Springsteen and Paul McCartney, Sir Paul McCartney. This guy's a knight. Isn't that what a sir is? And you're going to tell Sir Paul McCartney in his own... Paul McCartney can play to whenever he wants to play. This malarkey is because, I don't know what. What is it, some sound permit? The neighbors, by the way, the neighbors can listen to Bruce Springsteen and Paul McCartney play until 5 a.m., as far as I'm concerned. If you don't want to hear that music, then you need to build yourself a bunker and live underground. That's how much it upsets me. You don't tell those two to get off stage. You can tell Orny Adams at the Ice House to get off stage. But you don't tell those two to get off stage. And what? Because what? It's some union thing? What is it? Is it a sound ordinance? Is it some guy, some jaded technician just wants to go home for the night? What is it? That's why I want to talk to Bruce Springsteen. I want to know this moment. I could talk about it for hours. What happened? What happened? And how did you feel? Because it doesn't seem to affect him, but he's got to be thinking, who else do I have to bring up on stage for you to let us stay? Do I need to bring Led Zeppelin? Who else you want up here? T-Swizzle? What caliber? So let me play this. Let's see where this is at. I think this is him saying he can't throw us off. They can't tell us to leave.
Come on, boys! It's late, but they can't throw us out of here now.
Oh, hang on, Bruce. They're about to throw you out. Here's a guy.
Oh, they're going to kill the power.
They're going to kill the power, they said. That's it. Guy puts his hands up. Everyone's booing. Of course they're booing.
I've been told they can throw us out of here now, so we'll see you next time.
He said, I've been told they can throw us out of here now.
Good night.
Good night. Now we're ending on this depressing note. This depressing. Thank you. Bringing it down. Unbelievable. Now, I saw this happen live, and it stayed with me, and it will forever stay with me. And I told it at the Ice House the other night, and I might put the clip out there. I don't know. I'm playing with my hair now. Make sure it looks good as I bring this home. Okay. So what happened was, I was in New Orleans during the Jazz Festival doing stand-up comedy at a casino. And guess what happens when the Jazz Festival's in town? Nobody shows up for the stand-up comedy. So they gave me two tickets to go to the Jazz Festival. And I was looking and seeing who was playing during the day. And Buddy Guy was playing. And I had always heard that Buddy Guy was the greatest living guitarist. This is what Eric Clapton says. This is what, there's a plane going overhead. Keith Richards, he is admired and respected by all of his peers. But he never broke through commercially. And that would drive me nuts because he influenced all these people. He's the reason, Jimi Hendrix said, the reason I played guitar behind my neck was because of Buddy Guy. So Buddy Guy has influenced all these people, and here he is playing this small stage, one of the smaller stages at the New Orleans Jazz Festival, and he's got to be thinking, I influenced all these other people, but I don't have commercial success, and that's got to hurt. I don't care. I don't care how zen you are. I don't care how many books you've read on Buddhism or how evolved you are. That is going to bother you. And I know Buddy must feel, love to have Buddy on this podcast, that he got robbed a little. And I know you're not supposed to think that. You're supposed to appreciate what you got. But screw that. How about a little justice? What's wrong with a little justice in the arts? Where is justice in the arts? I don't see it. I see a lot of people rigging the system, which is what Madeline is talking about. Okay, so now I'm bringing it back, Madeline. That's what she's talking about. How people buy views. They pay for plays. They conform and they do things that work with trends. There are certain people that write music because they know how to write the hits. They're not writing from their soul. They're writing commercially. And yet that gets rewarded. Then there's a bunch of people that just break through just because they're lucky. And then there are some people like Buddy Guy that don't break through. And I've studied him. I've watched so many clips of him to figure out what is it? What is he missing? Because he's great. Listen to him play Sweet Home Chicago. Guy's amazing and he's got charisma. So what is it? What is it? And maybe as I'm searching for these things, I'm searching for something within myself, something that's lacking. You want to know what's wrong with Orny Adams? He's searching for it on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. In fractions of seconds, I'm searching for it. Okay? So Buddy Guy is playing the New Orleans Jazz Festival. And he's got to be thinking, everybody that I've influenced, they're playing the bigger stages. And he's having a great time. And I remember thinking, this guy is in his element. This guy, he is grooving. This guy is rocking it out. And I remember he was playing some song, Damn Right I Got the Blues. And he's just feeling it. You know when you're watching somebody and you're thinking, good for you. I feel good knowing you feel so good right now. Your happiness is my happiness. And he got a little cocky. Got a little, I could see myself doing this. Bruce didn't do this. But he said, the Tell 'Em Buddy Guy. And I've been trying to find this video forever. If somebody could help me find this video, I'd love to find it. He goes, the Tell 'Em Buddy Guy, he's got to wrap it up. Nobody tells Buddy Guy to wrap it up. And then he starts playing another song. And all of a sudden, a guy walks out on stage and he whispers and Buddy goes, in the middle of the song, like Buddy's playing. This is my recollection. And Buddy goes, good night. And Buddy walked off the stage. And I thought they must have been telling Buddy, hey, if you don't get off the stage right now, you're not getting paid. But you know, Buddy is thinking they wouldn't say that to the Rolling Stones. They wouldn't say that to Eric Clapton. They wouldn't say that to this person. But they're telling Buddy Guy to wrap it up. That's the injustice in art. What's wrong with Orny Adams? Episode 99. Thank you, Ernesto Hurtado, for mastering the audio. Thank you, Mark Mann, for writing this theme. Thank you to all my listeners and everybody. I hope to do one more episode. One more episode. I want episode 100 to be in the year 2023. If you want to email me, the email is whatswrongatornyadams.com. whatswrongatornyadams.com. All my tour schedules up at ornyadams.com/tour. I look forward to seeing you guys and hearing from you guys. Thank you for all the emails. Thank you for everything. And I would like to apologize to my entire country of Lithuania for trying to make a joke about you. All right, loosen up, everybody. Loosen up. We'll see you again.